Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 48 at 17,168. S&P 500 down 11 at 2018. NASDAQ Composite down 40 at 4,840. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 4 basis points at 2.03%. Oil down $1.08 at $45.21 per barrel. Gold down $9.10 at $1,167.70 per ounce. Silver down 22 cents at $15.78. Oil futures settled at their lowest level in nearly 3 years. OPEC is holding a special meeting in Vienna with cartel members and non-members, Russia and Mexico, to discuss ways to prop up oil prices. Don't hold your breath. Meanwhile, the U.S. Energy Information Administration reported a much bigger than expected increase of 8 million barrels in crude supplies for the past week. The European Commission has ruled that Starbucks and Fiat Chrysler's tax deals with the Netherlands and Luxembourg are illegal state aid, ordering the respective governments to recover as much as $34 million from each company. The ruling follows an EU investigation launched in June 2014. It looked into whether the two companies were given so-called sweetheart tax deals that effectively lowered their corporate taxes. Who's up next? Well, European regulators are finishing up investigations into McDonald's and Amazon's tax affairs in Luxembourg and Apple's arrangements in Ireland. Outgoing House Speaker John Boehner said Republicans will meet on October 28th to nominate a candidate to replace him. Last night, Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin said he would run for the job if certain conditions were met. With a critical deadline just 2 weeks away, House Republican leaders are discussing options for raising the U.S. debt limit. Last week, Treasury Secretary Jack Lew moved the cutoff for raising the debt limit to November 3rd, earlier than the November 5th date he had set earlier. After that point, Lew said, the Treasury would have less than $30 billion to fund the government, far short of expenses for any given day. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad arrived in Moscow Tuesday, in the leader's first known trip outside his country since the start of Syria's civil war. During the meeting, Russia's Vladimir Putin reiterated his commitment to support Assad through military and political channels and said he would call on other world leaders to look into a potential diplomatic solution to the conflict. A group of high-profile lawyers plans to file a request to begin impeachment proceedings against Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff. Today's move is only the first step in a drawn-out process that could take up to 8 months. The Brazilian currency, the real, is down 32% this year. General Motors and EMC released their latest earnings reports before opening bell this morning. GM posted adjusted earnings of $1.50 per share, a 55% year-over-year increase that beat estimates of $1.18 per share. EMC reported earnings of 43 cents per share, revenue of $6.08 billion for the third quarter. Analysts had been looking for 44 cents per share and $6.17 billion in revenue. Coca-Cola said revenue fell a worse than expected 4.6% in the third quarter despite improvements in volume. Coke said currency fluctuations will hurt results for the year more than expected. Boeing posted a $1.7 billion net profit, up from $1.3 billion same quarter last year. Boeing delivered 199 commercial jets in the third quarter, up from 186 same quarter last year. And more of those jets are the expensive wide bodies, such as the 787 Dreamliner. During this quarter last year, 31 Dreamliners were delivered to airlines. This year, Boeing delivered 37. The challenge now for Boeing is to bring down the production cost of the long-delayed Dreamliner so it can bring in more cash and maybe someday break even on the plane, whose development cost ran over budget. Credit Suisse reported worse-than-expected third-quarter results, with net income falling 24% and the investment bank posting a pre-tax loss of 125 million francs. Separately, the bank announced a plan to raise $6.3 billion in new capital and a corporate reorganization. Western Digital agreed to buy SanDisk for about $19 billion. SanDisk is one of the largest makers of NAND flash memory chips, which store data in mobile devices, increasingly being used in hard drives in computing. The technology uses less power and is faster to access information, making it more useful in cloud computing data centers. Lam Research is buying KLA TenCore for about $10.6 billion. The merger will create a $19 billion semiconductor firm that will rival Applied Materials and serve 42% of the wafer fabrication equipment market when the deal closes middle of next year. The offer of $67.02 per KLA TenCore share represents a 24% premium to yesterday's closing price. According to hedge fund research, hedge funds suffered their largest quarterly loss in assets since the financial crisis during the 3 months ended in September. The third quarter saw the average fund lose 3.9%, driven by slow growth in China, sliding commodity prices, and likely U.S. Fed rate hike that sent stocks tumbling. Notables, David Einhorn's Greenlight Capital down 17% year-to-date, and Bill Ackman's Pershing Square now down 12.6% for the year after dropping 12.5% in September. Today, Ackman's Pershing Square just purchased 2 million more shares of Valeant Pharmaceuticals. It's either brilliant or insane. Time will tell. In September, Valeant dropped 23%, and Ackman's large 5.7% stake in Valeant really hurt his returns for the month, so he doubled down. And today, Valeant dropped another 30%. We don't know when Ackman bought in today. Citron Research, a stock commentary site run by a short seller, said Valeant is using a couple of specialty pharmacies called Philidor Rx Services and R&O Pharmacy to store inventory and record those transactions as sales, comparing the accounting and auditing to Enron. Valeant had been at the forefront of an intensifying debate over price increases for older drugs in the U.S. Last week, it said it had received subpoenas from the U.S. attorney's offices in Massachusetts and Manhattan. Now, here's the kicker. R&O Pharmacy has sued Valeant. The lawsuit says that R&O believes that both Valeant and R&O are victims of a massive fraud perpetuated by third parties, or that Valeant is conspiring with other persons or entities to perpetuate a massive fraud against R&O and others. I think I'll go with insane. Chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, Timothy Massad, says that the regulator is very concerned about the potential of disruptive events in the U.S. Treasury market and is already taking steps to address the growth of automated trading and increasing cybersecurity risk. New proposals include requirements for pre-trade risk controls and other measurements to reduce risk of automated trading. The CFTC also wants to increase transparency regarding market maker incentive programs and self-trading to make sure it isn't illegal wash trading. Toyota is recalling about 6.5 million vehicles worldwide to fix a defective power window switch in models including the Yaris, Vitz, Subcompact, Corolla, Camry, and others. Debris caused by wear from the electrical contact points can accumulate and cause a short circuit. That, in turn, could make the switch assembly overheat, potentially leading to a fire. Yahoo has signed a search advertising deal with Google. The deal builds on an existing search partnership with Microsoft, under which the company gets a percentage of revenue from ads displayed on its sites. The move also follows disappointing third-quarter results from Yahoo that missed expectations and unveiled cost cuts, content write-offs, and more soft guidance. Today is the day that Marty McFly flies the time-traveling DeLorean to Hill Valley, California, and if the flux capacitor is correct, he landed there about 17, 18 minutes ago. We're talking about the movie Back to the Future Part 2. And if you don't really remember the movie or you haven't heard the news stories over the past few days, the intrepid time traveler from the 1980s, played by Michael J. Fox, set his time machine to October 21st, 2015. Today is the day of futures past. And it has been intriguing to look back at the movie and see how their fictional predictions have panned out. Of course, one of the favorite futuristic gizmos was the hoverboard. It's not a ubiquitous toy, but a couple of companies have built functioning hoverboards. The garbage-powered portable nuclear fission machines? Well, not so much. Fax machines everywhere? No. Cubs win the World Series? Still within the realm of possibility. But the odds are astronomical at this point. However, there is now a major league team in Miami. They got that right. The movie got some things right. Flat panel TVs with built-in video conferencing were in the movie. And I actually have a flat screen at my home with the Skype app. Wearables such as Google Glasses or Apple Watch, yeah. Biometrics, sorta. Biff paid for a taxi with his thumbprint alone. I can't do that, but I can pay for stuff with my phone, and my phone can be unlocked with a thumbprint. Programmable automated homes? Yes. My home isn't automated, but the technology exists. 3D holographic entertainment, advertising, and gaming? Yes, we have that. Still working out the specifics, but we have it. The Black & Decker food hydrator? Well, not exactly. But I do have a microwave, which is probably worse. There are many other examples, but you get the idea. The writers, 30 years in the past, actually did a pretty good job of predicting the future. New ideas and technologies have completely changed the way we live, learn, and work. So the next question is, what will our world look like in 2045, 30 years from today? Maybe we'll make a mess of everything, but I hope and believe that 30 years from now, we'll be doing much better. Maybe we'll have peace or end poverty or find cures to horrible diseases. Try to imagine the world you want to live in 30 years from today and then move in that direction. And if the future has hoverboards for everybody, well, that's just a bonus. Follow along, moneyradio.com or the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.